Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good morning to you. It is SB Nation Radio. It is Wake Up Call. I was thinking about this over the weekend because we all miss sports, and we all miss kind of what we remember about sports at different times of the year, right? We went through this in March with March Madness, where we would be sitting around on a Thursday afternoon, like, I should be watching college basketball right now, or during the Masters, where you're like, this is when I would be settling in to watch the final round. Kentucky Derby, that kind of thing. But I was thinking about it with basketball because, the networks are replaying games, and sometimes you just stumble upon one, and I'm not a big watcher of games from the past, and I sometimes don't even have them on. But the other day I had one of the NBA final replays on. It was Golden State versus Cleveland, and it was like from a couple of years ago, and it was on, and it was a reminder. I was doing stuff around the house. It was a nice day out. Here it is in May. I'm going in and out of the house, and I remember, like, this is what it used to be like at this time of year. Like, maybe not the finals, but just playoff basketball. Like, it would be common to just on TV in my home on a Saturday where I'm doing some yard work or doing some work inside the house, just coming in and out, maybe running an errand, to have like Sixers and Bucks on, ABC, right? Or ESPN, whatever channel was airing it during the mid-afternoon, like a full slate of games or whatever it was. I remember realizing how much I really missed that. Now, I may not have my full attention, or I'm taking notes and I'm watching games like I sometimes do during the finals or some really critical playoff games, but I just missed it being on TV. It just missed having it on, to have it on. So I could walk through the house. Oh, look, like the Sixers are closing the gap in game two. And that has been, that had been in my life ever since I became an NBA fan at a young age. Always having those spring playoff games on a beautiful day when we would be coming out of winter. You'd have these NBA games from the Garden or from the Spectrum in Philadelphia, or even West Coast games from the Forum or places like that. Yeah, it was just a reminder of what we're missing. I hope basketball finds a way to come back, but I don't know if it will. We've been talking a lot about a drop-dead date for the NBA. That date is probably coming. All right, coming up, more thoughts on The Last Dance as Ron and I both got to watch it, watches 7 and 8. One other observation on what this documentary means next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. All right, so I got a question here. According with The Last Dance, and it goes into this context of great basketball players, at least great recent basketball players. I want those of you out there to really think about this. Answer it on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, or 800-224-2004, that's 800-224-2004. Of the three basketball players that are, at least in the modern times, in the conversation of GOAT, the one we have these arguments about through generations. So this would not include, like, Bill Russell, who should be in that category, or even Magic or Bird, who, were in that conversation. Michael, Kobe, LeBron. We're talking about a Michael Jordan documentary that encompasses 10 parts, all right? So close to 10 hours minus some commercials. Who has the most riveting story? And I know LeBron's story isn't done yet because of Laker legacy. And Kobe's story has been tragically cut short because we don't know what his post-career would have looked like had he gone on to do other things in basketball, whether it would be, people talking about his work with the WNBA, his daughter, whatever he was going to do. But who has the most compelling playing story? Like, we're looking at Jordan, right? We've got his emergence in the league as rookie of the year, the shoe contract, the inability to win a championship until the 90s, the struggles he had with the Pistons, finally winning a title, winning three in a row, leaving for baseball of all things, father passing away, returning to the basketball, winning three other championships, the way he treated teammates, the teammates that he had around him, the troubles with Jerry Krause. But then you look at a player like LeBron. And LeBron's got a different story arc because his Jordan story really, his basketball story really begins at North Carolina because, you know, a lot of us weren't privy to the what he was doing in high school and the recruiting process that he was going through once he did emerge in high school. LeBron, we've watched since he was a kid, right? He's been in the national spotlight since he was a child.
Yeah.
He's on the cover.
Like, almost like 15, 16 years old since we're on the LeBron radar.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school student.
And right? You can say the same thing for Kobe.
Kobe the same way. Kobe at Marion High School was the same way, right? He was on the radar even as a young kid. So gets drafted in the league, same with Kobe. But with LeBron's story, it's, right, he gets drafted by the quote-unquote hometown team in the Cleveland Cavaliers, gets him to a finals kind of early in his career in 2007, but gets swept, realizes there's got to be some changes that needs to occur, makes those changes and becomes a villain in the process, becomes one of the most hated athletes in around the country because of what he did to the city and how he did it in leaving for Miami and taking his talents to South Beach and how that experiment didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out, talking about winning all of these championships with Wade and Bosch, and then they don't. They lose to both Dallas and San Antonio, but he does get two. He gets two titles. Then returns to Cleveland and gets them a championship. Doesn't his first time, does the second time. Kind of does this redemption story. Then leaves for Los Angeles, where he's now currently with the Lakers. Now, that plays out in a championship. The story becomes compelling. But also now, he becomes this activist. He's very vocal on political issues on Twitter. He's vocal on a lot of issues within the culture. He's got a sort of this reputation that people like him, but they don't necessarily respect him in the same way as they did Kobe and Jordan. There's something about him that draws people away from him. A lot of it still has to do with the decision, but some of it has to do with, you know, some of the things that he's done. He's one of the most unselfish players in the league because he's really worked to make his teammates better. You look at Kobe's story, and it's even got a lot of – it's got those same kind of story arcs. He did spend all of his career with one team, much like this Jordan documentary will do, except I think they will get into the Wizards part of Jordan's career, but I don't know how much because it seems to be centered on this final dance, the last dance with the Bulls. But with Kobe, you've got the problem, the emergence, the same thing, the emergence into the league as a young talent, dominating the league, teaming up with Shaq, that relationship with Shaq, his relationship with Phil, being labeled a selfish player. You've got the Colorado rape allegations and him dealing with that, what was said about him then, what was said amongst players about him then, back into the league, winning championships, winning with Shaq, winning without Shaq, losing championships, his drive to get to Jordan's six, coming up short, and then obviously the retirement, what he was doing in retirement, and then the tragic helicopter crash. So again, when you're talking about being able to put these stories into some sort of documentary context, who has the most compelling one? Who has the more angles other than he was a great player and look at all of his greatness, and oh yeah, he had some obstacles along the way, and here are some of the obstacles. Who has the most compelling story arc? Who has the most, you know, going from up to down to back up again to staying up to going back down again? You know, I started thinking about this, and I gravitate towards Jordan because, again, knowing how hard it was for him to be such a dominant player and to not get the immediate success, right? He did not lead the Bulls to a finals within the first, like, 2 or 3 years of getting into the league. I mean, I think for LeBron it was four. So he was drafted in 2003, and then in 2007 made it to the finals. Kobe took a few years, but he had a championship. LeBron didn't win a championship until he went down to Miami. But when Jordan got it, he stayed there. And then this trip to baseball is just, even today, is still really bizarre.
Can you imagine Mike Trout just up and stopping playing baseball and going, you know what? I'm going to try out for the NFL.
Right. Yeah, right. Sure.
I can track down balls in center field. I was a good, pretty good, decent football player. I think I'll go a wide receiver or tight end.
To me, when I was younger, Danny Ainge played for the Blue Jays. I still have a Danny Ainge baseball card when he was with the Blue Jays. And I remember when he was on the Celtics and you would hear like, oh, Danny Ainge played Major League Baseball. I was like, how can somebody play two professional sports?
Well,
that's as a kid, that was mind-boggling that he was good enough to be a professional athlete in two sports.
You know what I love most, too, is that if there is a two-sport athlete, baseball has to be one of them.
Yeah, right.
So
exactly.
Making it the easier of the of the three main sports.
So it's
quit playing basketball, quit playing football, just go play baseball.
Just go play baseball.
You know, Bo Jackson was doing both, gets hurt in football. Yeah, we'll just stick to baseball from now on.
Yeah, we'll just play. You know, Deion Sanders was the same way. Deion Sanders finally went to football, but he actually played for the Reds after his Braves career.
Now,
played for the Yankees, the Reds, the Braves.
I think Jordan is still the more appealing one, essentially because he's the one that laid the foundation for LeBron and Kobe.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, he's the first athlete that I can remember where endorsements were a big deal.
The changing of the culture in terms of the way an athlete is presented, I think, is very fascinating with Jordan. I mean,
because before that, prior to that, I mean, you know, you would have like the Mean Joe Greed Coke commercial. You'd have, you know, the NBA players hawking Converse or whatever it might be. You didn't really have a prominent athlete like this appear on. I mean, it was Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, I mean, you would have some local, you would do some local stuff.
Oh,
but
of course,
I don't remember like Larry Bird selling like car insurance, like nationally, right? Like he wasn't like O.J. Simpson running through for a car rental company or anything.
But when you had the O.J. Simpson one, that was a one-off.
You're right, right.
You saw the Hertz commercials, like, oh my God, you know, you can have athletes do it. But then nothing came of it. And it was Michael Jordan who came through. It was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to make him the face of Nike. We're going to make him the face of Gatorade. We're going to do McDonald's.
Yeah. I think Bird do a Jordan ad with Magic? Was it Magic or Bird he did the horse game with?
Jordan.
Was that Jordan? Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan and Bird.
Off the backboard, it's swish, nothing but net, right? That kind of thing. So, but you know,
that was a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, I think it was. I think you're right. The LeBron story to me, if I were to rank them, I would probably go Jordan, LeBron, Kobe.
Yeah.
The LeBron story to me has always been fascinating how a guy gave up. He was so blinded by the public perception of him that he thought the decision was a good idea. That he had surrounded himself with too many yes men, that the decision was a good idea. That if I kick this city and Dan Gilbert the way I'm going to do it, but I surround myself with kids at a YMCA, somehow the perception will be, well, he's a really good guy. He's moving on with his career. It'll be hidden. And that's the exact opposite. America did not care who you were surrounding yourself with when you kicked the city in the face.
And then the other
part. You kicked the city in the face.
The other part to that special, if we will, was that we got the decision made in the first 5 minutes of filming.
Yeah.
And yet there was still an hour to go.
Still an hour to go,
and you're,
right.
You're going, like, I remember watching going, why am I still watching this?
Yeah, it's...
All I wanted to know is what was his decision. If you take the decision out, is LeBron as compelling?
No, because I agree. I don't think so. I don't think so. If he had done that in a way where it was, leaving Cleveland was understandable, like, if it was done in a way where Cleveland was like, look,
he needs a new challenge.
Whatever it is, he needs a new challenge. Maybe he had won a title there and had done something else. But even without the title, if he had just done it in a way that people may not have liked, but got... Because look, nobody is... He didn't anger people in Montana and Maine and South Carolina because he was leaving the Cavaliers. I don't think anybody really gave a crap that he was leaving the Cavaliers. It was cruel what he did. I mean, that was a cruel thing to do to a city and to a fan base. To make it a television program, to not sit down with your team and say I'm going in this direction, to make them sit by a screen, to make a city sit by a screen and wait to play this out like it was some game show, and people were mad because they didn't say I feel bad for Cleveland. They went, that's a cruel thing to do, and you know what? I hope you don't win the championship you're chasing. The Dallas Mavericks became the most loved team when they beat the Heat, because everyone, I think, felt like LeBron was going to win. Eventually, he was going to win a championship. He wasn't going to go 0 for his career.
And it was just that smugness
of
not one, not two, not three. You remember hearing that? You're cringing like, oh, God, you're going to win like seven in a row.
They thought it was going to pour in. That they created a team that it was unstoppable. And then when the Mavericks beat them, people were like, you know what? Good for Dallas.
Yep.
Good for Mark Cuban. And good, you know what? You may get yours, but not this year, and not in the first year you put this abomination together. Right? And so, to me, so now there is a story arc of him coming. He realizes, all right, this didn't work out like I thought. Let me go to Cleveland. But he has to win a title there, right? Like, he can't just go back to Cleveland to sell jerseys. He's got to win a championship. But now, who emerges kind of out of the ashes? Golden State, which was not on the radar the entire time he's in Miami.
No.
Beating the Spurs and beating Oklahoma City to win titles. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this new team he's got to deal with. On a year-to-year basis, going to the final, he's got to find a way to beat them, and he's down 3-1, and he wins the championship. So there to me, there's a 10-part documentary coming down the road. If LeBron's camp is smart, they start hiring a production crew to start filming now.
Yeah.
Because you can see LeBron going, yeah, we're doing that in about 20 years or 15 years. We're doing that. Right there. what we're seeing... I'm making sure I make my case to
the
American people.
Does he get 10? Maybe he only gets 8?
Maybe 8.
Maybe the GOAT is reserved for 10?
Not 5, not 6, not 7. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up this hour. Don't want to miss that. It's coming up in 15. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts will make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of brake vest pads and 2 brake vest rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Not to bore people with my weather reports here in Nashville, but it's been cold here, and it's been driving me crazy.
Uh-oh.
Last night, I wanted to just sit on my patio as the sun was setting, my backyard, just hang out. It was freezing. And I'm like, what in the world? Why can't I, in the South, sit on my patio in May without needing a jacket?
Are you really the South?
Not really. It's like mid-South. Yeah, it's mid-South. Oh, you know, people
more
here,
north than south.
Well, you know, people here fought for the Confederacy. Well, may consider that part of the South. That's the barometer. I remember watching Ken Burns' documentary a couple of years ago. And you remember how Ken Burns used to, he would find like a character from that time and he'd find the letters that they wrote and he'd have somebody voice it.
Yep.
Right. So he had a guy from Rhode Island, I think, representing the North. So you would basically follow this guy's journey in the Union Army all the way through the letters that he wrote. So you'd have an actor that would voice it out to describe his experiences. And then he had found a Southern guy, and the kid was from Tennessee. And not only was he from Tennessee, he was in like the next town over from where I live. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. It really is. We really are in Confederacy country. Yeah, and you see that all the time. There's a Civil War battle site in my town.
Nice.
2 minutes up the road from my house. Yeah, I took the kids there one time when they were little and young, and I was like, this is a Civil War battle. They just went, oh, okay, this looks like a field.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, this, there was a, you ever been to a Civil War reenactment?
No.
They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. The battle in my town celebrated the 150th anniversary fall of like 2014. And so we went. They had a big reenactment. And it was really, how do I say this? It wasn't exactly exciting. It was just like a bunch of soldiers, like just like it probably would be in real life. It wasn't like what you see in movies. It was like there's a bunch of people, and every now and then they'd shoot they'd shoot a cannon, and then some people would move, and they'd wait a while, and another cannon would be fired. And well, then we'd wait a while, and then do another one.
When we lived in San Diego, there was a park that had a train, like a full-size train, and it just did a loop around the park. But every so often, they'd have like their Western days where they would do a stagecoach robbery.
Oh, okay.
And so the train would go around the park. And when I say, like, I mean, it was like a quarter of a mile. It wasn't even that long. And when you, normal days, when you take the train around, they usually do like two or three laps. So you got your money's worth. But on this one, you know, you paid for the stagecoach robbery experience. And,
nice.
And they also had a Gatling gun.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of those guns where they had the guy was cranking it.
Right.
And it just kept firing. Yeah, and it kept firing rounds. They had that. That was the closest I think we ever came to a Civil War reenactment.
I had never gone to one before until they said, oh, come down Saturday.
I might have to put it on my bucket list. Kind of sounds fun.
I still have a bunch of pictures. So
they didn't ask you to be a part of it?
Yeah, well, yeah, they didn't say, all right, everybody, now gather around. Here's what we're going to do. And the people who took it really seriously too, they were really into it. Like they were, I mean, they were like the guys who dressed.
That's not
up
a hobby. That's a job.
That's a job. It's a lifestyle. It's got to be right. So yeah, that's the only.
On the uniform. You come prepared to play. Civil War reenactment guys. They take the Jordan mentality to the extreme.
They do right. It's completely.
Yeah, I mean, they're yelling at someone like, hey. There were no watches back in 1860-something.
That's right. Get that off. Take that off. Put that phone. Give that phone to your wife. No cell phones here on the battlefield.
Just hear in the background, like, Nikkei. What kind of engine shoe is that?
So we're kind of south, but, you know. Nah, like everything around me is southern. Southern tea, southern barbecue, southern, you know. But we're not, you know, it's not like we're Alabama. Now,
you
know,
it's funny because you are the south, but you're not the deep south.
Right.
That's where the difference is.
That's the difference. But it's cold. That's my point. It shouldn't be cold this time of year. I should be sweltering.
Yeah.
And it's not. I'm not sweltering.
Oh, actually, I'm not going to complain because it's been nice here.
I went in the backyard yesterday, chip golf balls. So I'm chipping golf balls. My wife comes out. She's got a tea in her hand. She's sitting on the patio. And we're just talking. And like 5 minutes later, maybe a little bit more than that, she goes, I got to get in. I got to go in. It's cold. I go, all right. I go in, and I went in with her, and I was like, yeah, you're right, it's chilly. It's like, I hate it. I've been put up with the longest winter. I got the global pandemic. I got no sports on my TV, and it's cold in May.
And
hornets want to kill me.
Didn't the groundhog predict an early spring?
I thought so.
You know what? We got to do something about that groundhog. Maybe this groundhog is not reading his shadow correctly.
Maybe so. By the way, whoever came up with the Jumanji thing for 2020, that was brilliant. I hope it was.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you're the one that started this whole Jumanji meme and everything, good for you. Good for you for thinking ahead like that.
What, we just need to roll double sixes right now?
That's right.
To get out of it?
Exactly. Oh, murder hornets. Oh, global pandemic.
And I'm kind of nervous about what comes after murder hornet.
I know. Did you see the video of the praying mantis?
Yes.
Mantis killing the murder hornet?
There's another one with a scorpion.
That's great.
The scorpion does the same thing. So, I mean, praying mantis, at least that's nicer. They don't hurt us.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not too big on their mating ritual.
So I can't believe I got to say this to people as a public service announcement, but I saw this report that says people are so scared of the murder hornet, which, by the way, you don't have to name insects devastating names. Like, sure, multiple stings could kill a person, but that doesn't mean murder hornet needs to be a name because it makes people scared. And they're saying that they're killing bees because of it. Like, oh, I got some bees. If there's bees, there'll be murder hornets. Don't kill the bees.
Yeah, don't kill the bees.
I can't believe people in this day and age, people need to be reminded that Jerry Seinfeld cartoon was supposed to settle all this, right?
Yeah, well, there was some truth in that movie.
Wasn't it supposed to? Do you want a world where there's no food? Okay, kill all the bees you want then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's far-fetched that humans can understand what bees are saying.
Right.
We get that.
We get that.
Or that their hives are complex cities with working mechanisms and things like that.
And they can go through the whole law system to preserve their honey.
But the whole us having fruits and vegetables is largely because of them.
Yeah, so don't be so scared of murder hornets that you're wiping out the bee population. All right? Let's keep that up, you know. Guys, I can't believe it. Can't believe we have to say that to people, but we do. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
Wake up call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Tuesday. Glad you can be with us on SB Nation Radio. So let's feel good with the good of the day this morning.
Well, the good of the day, I guess it all depends on how you look at it. Okay?
Okay.
But there's a video, a short video, like maybe 15 to 20 seconds, of Mike Tyson just training hard.
I saw this, yeah.
And then he ends it with a Jordan-esque message. I'm back.
Yeah, what exactly does that mean?
And that's where I'm on the... It's good. I'm glad to see at 53 that Iron Mike can still punch like that.
That was a really impressive piece of video.
Yeah, I mean, unless there was a good editor that sped it up.
Right.
Which I don't think that. I don't think that's the case.
I didn't think about that, but you might be... Yeah, but that was great.
It does bring into that question, you know, what we used to have back in the day when we were younger, when Iron Mike was at his peak. You know, would you box around with him for like $10 million? And I always said, yeah, because at the end of the day, I mean, he's not going to kill me. At least I don't think. I hope.
Well, I could, but I'm with you.
Yeah. But for $10 million, I think I would.
$10 million, take a chance?
Yeah, you know, one round for $10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming I wouldn't go down with Apollo Creed. I think the closest his glove ever came to me, I would just go fall. I would just go down.
Yeah, easily.
Unless it was one of those things like you have to stay in for a full 3 minutes. And it's like, I'm just running around in circles then.
Yeah, for me, I would go down at the sight of the first punch. Like, as soon as the punch, like, you would watch it on video, goes, boy, the punch doesn't even hit him. He falls down the second he.
But what's funny, I mean, when you see him swinging in this video, I can't even see his arm going back to, like, throw a punch.
Right. Exactly.
That's how quick it is. Now, I have no idea what I'm back means. I don't know if he's doing, like, a George Foreman thing?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is he back, like, he can do this, so, you know, he just showing that he can do this? Or is there something to that the fact that he's showing he can do this?
I mean, is this an Apollo Creed thing he's going to take on the Russian?
Right.
What was the heavyweight holder? Khrushchev. What's his name?
Oh, Yeah,
you know who I'm talking about.
He can he do a Rocky Balboa where he's forced and then he needs an Adrian to go, you can't win.
Maybe.
And he starts driving into the night.
Yeah, and then he starts training, but he gets rid of the machines and climbs mountains.
Right, exactly.
Maybe he wrestles one of his tigers.
Goes
out to Siberia. Yeah, chops wood.
So yeah, I'm kind of curious because the video was great and I didn't think Iron Mike was doing that kind of thing anymore. But
no,
apparently he is.
Thought,
like, I didn't know he was that was something he was doing.
Like when you see him in the Hangover movie, doesn't he look out of shape? Like he just
kind
of,
like, yeah.
What it kind of looks like, there's certain angles when Jordan is sitting in that chair that you're looking at Jordan going, man, Jordan's got a gut.
Yeah, 57 years old, it comes.
Jordan's enjoying life.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. He's no longer, he's not putting 3 days in gyms anymore. He's just
the fine steaks and cigars of success.
But, you know, I'm looking at Tyson. I'm like, okay, you kind of looked chubby back when you were doing the Hangover movies. Now you're not.
Yeah, now he's looking good.
Now you're looking good. What does this all mean? So,
is there a senior boxing league or something that he might be like, where they're like,
maybe,
hey, it's not like it's,
you know, well, because
I'm fighting a 22-year-old, but it'll be kind of cool. Like,
I think part of the problem with the senior boxing league is that you end up getting someone like Evander Holyfield, whose faculties aren't all there.
Yeah, that's true. You can only do that for so long, right?
Yeah, unless you never take a hit.
Senior boxing league. Look at me. What was this dumb idea that was?
It'd be fantastic. Come on.
But seriously, I'd be interested in seeing what Iron Mike could do. How old is he, you said?
53.
53? Really?
Yeah.
Golly.
No, and he looks good.
He looks great.
He definitely, at 53 years old, I'm still hesitant on stepping into a ring with him.
I just have a hard time. It's like difficult for me because if you were an adult in the 80s, I automatically assume you're 60.
Yeah.
Like today, true. Right? But that's not the case. If you were 22,
no, that was one of the things
in 87, you know.
Blowing my mind right now. I don't know who put it out there, but somebody put it out there about Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah, Ahmad Rashad
he's in his 70s.
Yeah, he's in his 70s.
And that blows my mind.
I know. And he was in the NFL in the 70s.
Yeah.
So he played in the NFL, and then he got into he had a great TV career. But obviously, because he has dinner with Michael Jordan. Like
he was like Michael Jordan's BFF.
Yeah, right. He was like, oh, Mike and I were dining. Like, it's like, well, yeah. No wonder you're on television. He had a good television game. Now he's 75. He's in this documentary, and I couldn't believe it.
I know. I'm looking at that. Like, that doesn't seem right. But to me, I guess that's okay. It does make sense because then he did like a Saturday morning NBA on TV or something like
NBA
that.
NBA stuff or something like that. Yeah.
And that's what I remember
from the Cosby Show.
Felicia,
yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
He liked her and got together with her, and they got married. Good for him. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is Singapore. They have sought out the services of robotic dogs to patrol the parks to make sure people are maintaining good social distancing.
Why do people think this is a good idea?
I don't know.
Like the drones New Jersey and now dogs in Singapore, dogs in Singapore?
The dogs are harmless, so to speak, now. They look like robotic dogs. I mean, just picture like a rectangle box with a camera head and then legs, and it just literally walks around the park and it just repeats a message. It's a recording of just saying, please practice safe distance and thank you. And it's a very soft, sweet voice letting you know to stay 6 feet apart, or actually to the video, 1 meter apart.
Oh, I gotcha. So it's just like those drones we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Well, the drones were a little more menacing.
Yeah, they were. Step away from each other now.
Yeah.
By order of the state. And you're like,
but
jeez, really?
This thing, I don't know if anyone's actually controlling this dog. I don't know if they just turn it on and it's like a Roomba in a way.
Oh, okay. So we now live in a society where a robot dog, they invent a robot dog that can walk around and sense when people are too close together.
Yeah.
Get working on that vaccine, people. How about that?
Yeah, it's
I know it's two totally different fields, but that's where I go.
Just let you know, the device is equipped with cameras that will scan the surroundings and help officials estimate the number of people gathering in parks. But these cameras will not be able to track and or recognize specific individuals, and no personal data will be collected, the government said.
Okay, sure.
No, but that's the government said they're not collecting data from it.
Okay.
Do we believe that?
No.
No, not at all.
Because if you have a device like that, that's exactly what you would want.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be a payoff on the other end, right? Like,
I mean, where's the point to when they just, somebody feeds one of these dogs a most wanted list?
Yeah, of course. That's all it takes.
And they said, you just keep controlling the park. When you see this guy, let us know.
Yep, exactly.
And then one thing leads to another. I mean, dog starts catching people. Then all of a sudden, the dog is out to seek and destroy.
Yep. Very true.
Very slippery slope. That's how quickly it happens, kids.
That's how quickly it happens, right?
Then we
get all your information.
Yep. Then we're fending off robot dogs.
It's like when you want to go on Facebook and you want to play What Jeff Dunham Puppet Are You? And you're like, yay! And you answer all these questions like, yay, look what I got. I got the old grumpy man. And they realize, I just gave away pretty much my entire life to whatever company put that little thing together.
Yep.
It's the payoff. It's the price you pay for that.
Yeah, now they know my thoughts.
Yep, exactly.
And I still don't get how if I search a website once, how it all of a sudden appears in my Facebook feed.
I went on a website and bought something on a website, and I now still see ads for that. And I want to say, I already bought that.
You
don't
need
to send it to me anymore. I've already bought that.
My wife went on one of these websites, talked to me about it, and then the ad appeared on my Facebook.
Yes, I know, right?
And I can't rationalize that. Like, I don't remember ever going on it on my phone or anything like that. She went on it and was talking to me about, we should get this for the family. We should look into doing something like this. And then all of a sudden the ad started appearing on my Facebook.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because years ago I had a neighbor and she was taking a walk through the neighborhood and I was out in the yard and I was like, hey, how you doing? And we started talking, and then she started going down this whole, you know, they're listening. All the devices are listening. I see ads when I just bring it up. And I told my wife, I'm like, she's crazy. She's a nice lady.
I don't know
but
about
she's
that,
crazy.
Man.
And then all of a sudden it happened to me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was like, I think she's right. I think it's happening.
Yeah.
At first, I kind of went, a little nutty, but now I'm like, oh, maybe she was onto something back in.
So basically what we're saying, kids, robotic dogs may seem harmless, but they're really not.
You know what's going to be weird? It's like you're in your house and you're like, I think we need a new refrigerator, but you'll look at your wife and you'll go, you know, I think something's wrong with the light bulb in the refrigerator. And you start turning up the volume on all the devices and you're like, Lowe's has a sale on a double refrigerator with a freezer bottom. If we go today, we can get it. I think there's four left in stock.
And are you doing that for yourself? Are you doing that so the refrigerator doesn't help hear you and break down faster?
Right, exactly.
That's crazy. Because I feel like that sometimes happens. Anytime we say something bad about the car, we say three nice things about the car.
That's very funny. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Well, while robots are patrolling the parks in Singapore, protesters took to the streets in Florida yesterday. I don't know how this protest went. This is true Florida man protest. Basically, these protesters were protesting the closing of gyms, and they want their gyms open now.
Now they do. And Everybody's getting fat.
The way they protested was staging a workout in front of the courthouse.
Oh yeah, I saw this, and they were like doing squats and push-ups and jumping jacks.
They were doing
like
full-on, full-body workouts, proving that they need these gyms open.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
It's one of those things where I think one of them sat back and was like doing a push-up, got up and looked around at everyone else working out and go, hey, you know, guys, I don't think we thought this thing through.
No, it didn't think. It's one thing to protest. It's another thing to show off why how you don't need the industry that you're protesting to open up in the first place.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys, they
true.
Were full-on Rocky mentality, not needing high-tech gadgets or anything like that. They were just, you know, training the old-fashioned way.
That's right. And you said this was down in Florida?
This was down in Florida.
Perfect.
I can't remember which county, but it was in one of the counties in Florida. And
yep.
Weather looked beautiful. Looked like a weather that you'd want to work out in outside. It didn't look that it was extremely hot either. I don't know how to explain it, Florida. Guys, I don't know how you would, what the proper way to protest opening gyms would be. But I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be working out on the courthouse steps.
Yeah, right. Right.
Because you're just defeating your own argument.
I know. God. You know what? You know, when my son goes down to Gainesville to go to the University of Florida, my advice to him will be, do not be Florida man. Like, just make sure you stay smart don't be Florida man.
If he starts to slip there. Because, listen, it happens. Tom Brady was only there for a week.
Right.
And he's done two things now where he's Florida man.
It's something that just comes over people and they're like,
is it the water? Wow. Is it the sunshine? But my argument or my question to you, father, is if he starts to become that, do you pull him out?
That's a good question. That's where I might have to sit with my wife and go, look, he's putting, you know, he's putting toothpicks in light sockets. He's, you know, he's walking around with an open umbrella during a lightning storm. We have to sit down and reassess his post high school education.
He's walking into people's houses thinking it was his professor's.
He's right. Right. Exactly.
Like, we can't have this.
What made you walk into your professor's house? You know, the person's, I thought I was my professor's. I thought I could just walk in. Really? Well, okay.
Well, he invited me.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm a little concerned.
Throwing footballs in a park that's closed.
It's closed. Wrestling alligators. I don't want you doing that. Or petting alligators. Whatever. Don't do any of these Florida man things. Like, stay smart. Try to be, you know, I'm just afraid it's in the water. So, all right.
I would be too.
That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Glenn, thanks for joining us. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You were talking about gyms earlier. For whatever reason, I don't have a problem going to get a haircut. I've gone to a few restaurants that have opened up in this town. But the rec center up the road that I go to just kind of do some sort of semblance of workout is open now, and I won't go. I don't know why. I'm not petrified of this pandemic, but I just won't go to the gym. And they're doing everything. My son went. He said they're doing everything. They're washing the people are washing the machines down with the thing. They're going around spraying.
But are they doing it after every session?
Well, he says that they're limiting the amount of people that are in the workout room, and everybody is, you know, everyone's at least the way he saw it, everybody's wiping down the machines after they do it. And there are people walking around with spray bottles just hitting the equipment all the time. But even then, it's just me. I'm not telling you not to go to the gym. I'm telling you not to work out. I'm just something about that makes me go, I'm not going.
No, I'm totally with you. I would not want to, you know, lay down on a bench that somebody else just laid down on because do I have to wipe down every piece of equipment that I'm going to use before I actually use it?
Yeah, exactly.
That would get annoying after a while. And then the other thing, like what you just said, I know they've closed gym locker rooms, or they're supposed to have closed gym locker rooms. At least here in Texas, they closed the locker rooms because, you know, people just kind of gather there. And if they're limiting the amount of people who can work out, are there just a lot of people standing in the hallway waiting for their turn to get in?
Well, that's, you know,
it's not a fun workout.
That's not a fun work, especially when you're on a limited time and you get there and you're like, wait a minute, what am I supposed to do? Wait for somebody to finish their 40-minute set?
Yeah. Do I have to wait to use this treadmill?
Right. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Yep.
But I'm not there yet. There's a number of businesses I have no problems doing, going to and whatever, but gyms aren't really one yet. I'm not really ready yet. Them and amusement parks. I'm not really ready to go back to amusement parks quite yet.
Yeah,
they're still closed, but I'm not ready yet. All right, it is Wake Up Call coming up next hour. More on The Last Dance and one surprising thing about it last night that made me go, I don't know if that's the right story.